Australian True Crime, the nation's leading independent true crime podcast, is hitting the road with our live show. We're coming to Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane this July, and tickets will be available starting May 10th at 9:30 a.m. sharp. They sold out in 2 hours last time, so do not dilly-dally. We know the suburbs of Australia are teeming with some of the most intriguing and chilling true crime stories the world has ever heard. Don't miss the chance to dive deeper and get involved with a live Q&A. With over 1.5 million downloads monthly, these tickets will sell out. So keep an eye on our social media pages and check the podcast bio for direct links to purchase yours as soon as they're released on Friday, May 10. I can't wait to see you there.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which this podcast is recorded. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and to Aboriginal elders emerging.
The kids and I have struggled through it, but we all know that you've just got to take little baby steps and keep going because that's what he would have wanted us to do.
We're sliding back into your podcast stream for the first time in 2020 with an update on a case we brought you in September of 2019, when our friend, Queensland journalist and author Robert Reed joined us to tell us about the subjects of his book, River of Gold. It's a story that shocked a lot of Australian listeners because it comes from a part of our country that's unfamiliar to many of us, where people live a lifestyle that seems quite foreign. We're talking about the northernmost tip of Queensland, the Cape York Peninsula. I'll let Robert describe it.
We're talking the biggest town of any note would be Cooktown. So we're well up on the Cape. Laura, it's only a little spot on the map. It's got a pub and a hall and that's about it. The nearest police, apart from the lone policeman at Laura, is Cooktown. And then you've got a long way south to Cairns. So it's a vast wilderness area with rivers flowing and gullies, and I would describe it as a badlands in the American sense of the word. The surrounding area includes the historic town of Maytown, which historically was the main centre of goldfields. People came from California and all over Australia to look for gold on the Palmer River.
And this is where the trouble begins. You see, the Palmer River, with its deposits of gold, happens to run through a property called, reasonably enough, Palmer Station, which was the kingdom of a particularly eccentric couple, Stephen and Diane Struber. Over the course of several decades, the Strubers became the stuff of legend around the Cape for their fierce defence of the part of the Palmer River that ran through their property. In fact, as time wore on, it seems to have become something of a dangerous obsession for them.
Well, Diane has spent her entire life there from the age of two and rarely left the property except for perhaps a family wedding or a funeral. She had no social life, very unsophisticated, worked like a man on the property, killed beasts for food and did all those things that men do on these stations. Stephen came along. He was a handyman type bloke. He could weld, he could fix engines, and he worked on properties around the area, stations around the area, and he ended up at Palmerville and did jobs for Diane's parents at first, and then he became a regular there, and Diane's father died, and then her mother, and Stephen, well, before she died, she said to Stephen and Diane, if you get married, I'll give you the property.
Okay.
She must have become indoctrinated by his behaviour and became just like him. And that's the story of these two. She says she was never physically assaulted by him, but I do believe that she's been moulded in his shape, moulded in his mindset by him.
When you saw the photos of them, it just looked like they lived a very hard life.
You can see from photos of the homestead,
yes,
inside and out. It's really just a tin,
yeah,
shed.
Yeah, it is. It's like a corrugated iron kind of construction, isn't it, with a few things in it?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Now, Palmer River runs through their property for a distance of approximately 60 k's. And these two, Diane and Stephen, for the best part of 20 years, and increasingly so, chased people off the part of the river that went through the property, and they took that law unto themselves outside the river and off their property as well. These two became notorious for driving up. Diane would be sitting in the vehicle, clearly holding a rifle upright in her lap, and Stephen would go down to the campers or the prospectors and say, get off our land, even if they weren't on their land. And so they became a sort of a Bonnie and Clyde. I don't want to over-dramatise it, but they were kings of their castle, and just there was no control over them. One of the local policemen there, he tried to tell his hierarchy in Cairns, I need help up here, send somebody up. These two are out of control. Something bad's going to happen. And it did.
48-year-old father of two, Bruce Schuler, was on a rare weekend away from the video shop he owned and ran with his wife Fiona in Cooktown on July 9, 2012. He was camping with three mates, Tremaine Anderson, Daniel Bidner and Kevin Groth, all of them indulging in their hobby of prospecting for gold with metal detectors. Although he'd never encountered them himself, two of Bruce's three mates had personal experience with the notorious Stephen and Diane Struber of Palmer Station. But they decided that the threat of intimidation was worth the rich pickings of the river, and no doubt they thought they could dodge them. Bruce had been a hard worker and a keen outdoorsman all his life. He was a skilled bushman and he was in good physical shape, but there are two things you need to know about prospecting with a metal detector. One is that two people can't work too closely together because their machines interfere with each other. When people go out with metal detectors together, like Bruce and his mates did that weekend, they need to be quite spread out at all times. The second thing is that they work with headphones on. So it's easy to imagine how Bruce could have become isolated and completely immersed in the ground at his feet, and how he could have not noticed the approaching danger until it was too late.
Stephen, and Diane Struber ambushed Bruce Schuller, who was metal detecting for gold on the Palmer River on a dry gully leading into the Palmer River. In July 2012, there were three of his mates in the area, but spread out a bit because when you use a metal detector, you have to have distance between each one, otherwise they interfere with each other. So Bruce's mates were out of sight of him, but in the area. And they saw the vehicle. They saw the ute pull up on a ridge above the gully where Bruce was. Bruce's mates knew it was the vehicle of the Strubers. And two of the three mates saw the Strubers in the vehicle. And so there was no question that they were there. They were seen. Then, out of their sight, out of the witness's sight, there were two gunshots. One appeared to be a rifle shot, and one appeared to be a louder report that suggested it was a large caliber handgun. And so, although there were no witnesses to the actual killing, there were certainly witnesses to the fact that those two were there when the gunshots were fired. So the police put together a very compelling case, circumstantial case, no witnesses, no body, and three missing firearms. But it was such well put together case that the jury accepted the fact that the killers were these two. And so they were jailed for life, but still wouldn't reveal where they put the body of Bruce Schuller.
So Stephen and Diane Struber were convicted of Bruce Schuller's murder, but his remains have never been found. They still refuse to admit they had anything to do with his disappearance, let alone where his body is. Diane's brother took over Palmer Station after their conviction, and he refused to allow Bruce's family to search the property. Of course, rumours abound in the community.
You get a picture of the vastness of this country. Standing on a hill, I said to the one of them, Tremaine actually, you could ride into those hills and stay there for a month, couldn't you, Tremaine? And nobody would know you were there. He said, Robert, nobody could find me. If somebody didn't come out who didn't have family and friends to inquire about them, nobody would know. And there's some talk that there's been people who haven't come out, people like that, loners, and that Bruce isn't the only one. Wherever they put Bruce, it's hard to think that he'll ever be found unless they tell us.
Yeah, that's what I found so tragic, is that Bruce hasn't been found, and his partner Fiona that has really lobbied hard for the no body, no parole rule to come in. Also, they had children. She described it as Bruce is just being murdered and discarded somewhere in the bush. Yep. You've met Fiona, obviously.
Oh, yes, I saw her today, actually. She's moved down from Cooktown. She'd had enough, and she's moved down to a family property they've got near Mareeba, where I live, and I see her from time to time. We talk on the phone, and because this is not over, because Bruce hasn't been found, and all efforts to get them to talk, including my own efforts and the police, have failed. And I have looked into Diane's eyes and said, tell me, where's Bruce? And she repeatedly said, I wasn't there, Robert. And it's chilling, because she was there. She was seen there. And Bruce didn't come back. I've heard this story and I didn't believe it at first, but I believe it now, that where they put Bruce, there's somebody else. There's no other reason that I can think of. Why wouldn't they tell us where he is? What is out there? The police have told me that if we found Bruce, we'd find the guns, we'd find a missing tarp that they had on the back of their ute often, and we'd find bullet holes in Bruce's head and body, and we might find something else. And so it's not out of the question that there could be somebody else that they've killed in the past.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We've spoken a lot on Australian True Crime about the no body, no parole laws that are slowly gaining traction around Australia. The law was finally passed in Queensland in 2017, due in no small part to the tireless campaigning of Bruce Shuler's widow, Fiona Split. Emily spoke to Fiona a couple of months ago about that campaign, and again just days ago for an update. Let's start, though, by talking about Bruce and his dream for the block of land he'd bought in the bush, very close to where he died.
Bruce has been in the building industry most of his life. And he had, with all the new regulations and different things you had to deal with, he sort of was had enough. So someone had spoke to him about this lease that he had out past Palmerville, and said, you know, you can go come out here and go gold detecting, you know, relax. And he decided that was a good idea, so he went out there, and he loved being out in the bush.
Mm.
Didn't really get a chance to do much gold detecting because he was too busy building a shed to make it comfortable enough for me to go out there and visit.
I saw the photos of the shed in the book, and it looked really nice.
Yeah, and there's bathroom, bedroom, kitchen, you know, washing machine, hot water system. Solar panels, so you had power and internet, telephone, even had TV set up.
So it was pretty comfortable. I guess it's handy. He was a builder, so it would be pretty nice. Yes. And the intention was that was like a bit of a holiday retreat or?
Yeah, just, you know, he'd go out there when there was no work happening and potter around in the bush and do what he liked doing. And when I had the opportunity, I'd go out with him and, you know, and the kids often went out too. But, you know, he did not get a chance to do what he wanted to do out there.
Yeah, and that was the Gold Fussy King.
Yeah. Mm.
So what drew – had he been into Gold Fussy King for a long time? What drew him to that?
He got into it about 6 years, maybe a little bit longer. When we were living in Cooktown, a few of the guys up there used to go gold detecting. So they'd go on camping trips and they'd go gold detecting. And he sort of got, quite interested in it. And then it came where, got to the point where you couldn't go on people's land. There was, cause it's a bit like the same as pig hunters, you know, people go out there, they wreck it for them. So, you know, they were stopping people going out there, and that was another reason why Bruce said, well, if I had my own lease, I wouldn't have that problem. And, yeah, so that's how he got into that. So he just liked wandering around the bush.
Yeah, and at the time you were, like, managing, was it right, a video shop?
Owned it, yeah.
Owned it, yep. And so you lived, yep. Where did you live?
At the point of him disappearing, I was commuting between Mareeba and Cooktown.
Is that a long trip?
3 hours.
You're talking to a Melbourne suburban girl here, so that's a fair odd trip.
3 hours, and you'd be lucky to see a car on a good day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you from that area? Did you grow up there?
No. I came over to Cairns in 1985 with Bruce. Okay. I met him in the Territory. He'd come over to do some work or something, ended up building me a bedroom and at my mum and dad's house, and I didn't even sleep in it and left with him. I think he was 21 and I was about 22. He's a typical Aussie bloke. Worked hard, enjoyed a beer, you know, loved family life, you know, had a great relationship with both his kids. And like most of our younger years, it was him working all the time so that we could have a better life sort of thing.
In the July of 2012, Bruce had gone off camping with three of his mates doing a bit of fossicking, and the guys had to spread out a bit.
Like, you can't even wear a watch or have metal studs in your boots. It interferes with the detecting.
Yep.
The detectors. Yeah. So they can't sort of walk side by side and try and detect, because they just interfere with each other.
They'd gone around that area before, hadn't they, sort of around that Palmerville Station area?
Well, Danny and Tremaine obviously have. Hmm. Bruce and Rusty have never been in there.
So they didn't really know about Stephen and Diane, because they'd been known as a menace for years and years, hadn't they?
Yeah. Well, when we were living in Cooktown, we'd heard the story. But, you know, are they stories or are they facts? You don't know until, you know, something like this happens.
When did it really start to become concerning for you? I know that the guys had left a message on Bruce's four-wheel drive asking him to get in contact with them. When did you really start to think something terrible had happened?
I probably was the worst one, because not as in panicking. I just sort of thought, he's run away, he's hiding in the bush, he's going to turn up.
Mm.
So it was probably a week after he went missing that it actually hit me that he wasn't coming home.
Mm.
Because I just kept thinking, he's going to just, you know, turn up.
But how had the situation been described to you by the guys and the police, like what they thought had happened?
When I first got the phone call, because he had his dog Red out there with him, and then he said that Red had run away and run back to the car. And as soon as he said that, I knew that there was gunshots. He didn't actually say gunshots. He just said Bruce has gone missing.
Mm-hmm.
And but he said Red had run away to the car, and I went, so there was gunshots. And he said, yep. And but I still then thought, you know, Red's run away to the car. Bruce has probably gone in a, you know, different direction.
Yeah.
Didn't think, you know, because I know I've heard all the stories we've heard is they shoot over everyone's heads.
Mm.
They don't actually shoot at people, so.
It was a pretty high-profile case, wasn't it, at the time?
Yeah. Yep.
Can you describe to us the impact that it had?
On Bruce's family has these, like, he's got two brothers and three sisters, and his dad. It really has destroyed them, I suppose, as such. You know, one of his brothers just is consumed with finding him all the time, and, you know, he's lost his business over it and everything. The kids and I have struggled through it, but we all know that you've just got to take little baby steps and keep going, because that's what he would have wanted us to do. yeah, there's been, you know, there's been lots of emotional ups and downs and things like that. But, yeah, it's definitely changed all their lives. And it will until the day we can actually bring him home.
And that's definitely something that's an ongoing fight for you, isn't it?
Really, I won't give up until I bring him home.
Do you feel like information from other people could help find Bruce, or do you think it's going to have to solely come from Stephen and Diane?
Well, I think there could be a third party that will know where he is, which is her brother George. I don't necessarily think he was involved, but I do know, my gut feeling says he knows where he is. The only way that I think that either Diane or Stephen is going to say where he is when one of them gets that sick that they're dying.
Okay.
They're going to implicate the other one. But I do believe that they're not saying anything, because if we find Bruce, we're going to find others.
For some people, they become really immobilized by their grief, and others, they go forward. Tell us about how you started your incredible advocacy for the No Body, No Parole laws in Queensland, because you really drove that, didn't you?
Yep. Well, I was just sitting at home one day thinking, because how it actually first started was when they said in the court that they'd been given a life sentence, I, in my head, thought, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, like a week before they were arrested, Queensland had changed the law to it to be 15 years.
The minimum life sentence, yeah.
So life sentence in Queensland is 15 years, which is ridiculous. You know, you're not ready to give your 15-year-old kid up to go out into the streets. You know, things, it's just 15 years is just ridiculous. I sort of, in my head, sort of thought, yeah, no, they got to stay there until they tell me how. I had seen a news report about South Australia, No Body, No Parole, bringing it in, and I thought, oh, well, maybe I can try that. Did a bit of research, realised that it was the only state that had it. And then I had to find out how to go about getting it done, because I actually was trying to get it done for the whole of Australia to start with, but you can't do it that way. You've got to get it done by state. So then, you know, send emails to politicians, try and get answers. So it just went from there, basically. I just thought, well, I've got to do this. If nothing else, hopefully they will tell me where he is. But by the time I sort of got through that process, I sort of knew in my head that they weren't going to tell me. But I thought, well, if it helps someone else, maybe, you know, I've done some good.
You've done amazing. I mean, that's an incredible effort. And you met with a lot of people, didn't you? I mean, you met with politicians. Did you have people helping you?
Well, like family was helping me, like spread the petition around and things like that. I wasn't a great believer in Facebook, and I was sitting around twiddling my thumbs one day, and I thought, maybe I can use this to my advantage, because we were doing it through the Queensland one. You can do it as a web link and a paper. And I thought, how am I going to get this out there to other people? Like, I stood at the races at Cooktown and at the gate as everyone was walking through and got, you know, heaps of signatures. I think I got 2,000 that day.
Wow.
And and a few arguments.
Yeah. Who was arguing with you?
Oh, there was a few people saying that, you know, what if they're not guilty, you know, and you get them locked up and the No Body, No Parole is in effect. And I said, yeah, I get that. And I had already done my research, and Queensland was the lowest of the states for convicting people that were not guilty of a crime.
Yep. So you really did. You went full out with your research.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds...
You know, not everyone reads legislation just for the fun of it.
No, but you obviously know a bit now. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
So Facebook, so you hopped on the Facebook train.
I set up a page and Justice for Bruce and just shared it with my few friends I had on Facebook, because I wasn't a big person on Facebook, and it just went berserk. And I've met, well, I've spoken to Margaret Dodd over in Western Australia, who was pushing, who started pushing for Nobody No Parole over there as well.
Her daughter Hayley was murdered, yep. and they've never found Hayley, have they?
No. So, yeah, I've spoken to her on the phone. Daryl Loy.
In Victoria. His brother Terry.
Yep. I've been following him. I've spoken to him on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to realise that, you know, we weren't the only ones looking for missing people, basically. There was huge amounts of people, and I've spoken to quite a few people now that, you know, how do we go about this and how do we do this and all that sort of stuff just through the Facebook page, basically.
Yeah, it's funny with Facebook, isn't it? It can be so intense and such a hostile place, but for things like what you were doing, it can be incredible for spreading the word.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good. When did you get the result with Queensland actually introducing this law?
The legislation actually was started on the 25th of the 8th, 2017.
So it would have been a pretty bittersweet moment for you, I'm guessing.
It took 2 years, basically, from starting looking into how to do the petition and still arguing with politicians and stuff. And it took 2 years. But the day I went down to the parliament that when it was announced. The day we went in there and I was listening to them argue, I'm thinking, you're kidding me, this is worse than a kindergarten. But when it came to the Nobody, No Parole, both sides were in agreement and it was like, are you kidding me?
Did you sort of go into a bit of a phase where you were a bit flat after that because you'd worked so hard?
I was like, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
I'm probably still at that stage, actually. What am I going to do now?
How have you been caring for yourself since Bruce disappeared and since all the work with the Nobody No Paroles been happening?
I just decided that I needed to get out of Cooktown and move back closer to the kids because I was just sitting, I just go to work, go home. That was my life.
Yeah. Have you got a good network of friends?
But, you know, they've got their worlds to live in and they don't need little old me there all the time, so.
After the break, an update and a chance for Fiona to bring Bruce home. Coming up on Australian True Crime, a change of circumstances brings Fiona new hope. But first, Emily caught up with Bruce Shuler's widow, Fiona Split, again a couple of days ago after we read an article on the ABC News website. It was about Fiona's latest campaign to keep up public awareness around the fact that she's still looking for Bruce's remains. On what would have been Bruce's 56th birthday, Fiona has erected 4 billboards around the Palmerville area.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
Hey, Fiona. How are you going?
I'm all right. You?
Yeah, pretty good. Been watching all the stuff about the bushfires. It's a bit stressy. Yeah. Are you guys okay where you are?
Yeah. No, we had our little incidences earlier on, but nothing to the state that they're in down in New South Wales and Victoria. That's just wrong.
Yeah. So I saw the ABC article. The signs look pretty impressive and, you know, they'll definitely catch people's attention.
Oh, yeah, they won't miss them.
No, not at all.
They won't miss them.
And I'll explain to listeners. So Fiona and her son and your sister-in-law have organised for these large road signs to be put around the Palmerville area, around the station.
Well, I had to, first of all, get approval from Crime Stoppers, also from Queensland Police to use their logo.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had to get approval from Cook Shire because it's all on Cook Shire Council's road area. So I had to get approval from all of those people before I could do anything. And I did a draft up of what I wanted and, you know, backwards and forwards a fair bit, like over 12 months. And then I got the approval and got the signs made.
Well, they're very impressive. So for the listeners, the signs have a big title saying, please help bring Bruce home. And then there's some text saying, Bruce Schuller was murdered on the 9th of July 2012 in the Palmerville area. His remains and prospecting equipment have never been located. And then there's an appeal for information with the Crime Stoppers number. And there's a really large photo of Bruce in the last, yep. That was the last outfit he was seen in, the last day he was seen, yep. Was it?
Well, it wasn't actually taken, that photo wasn't actually taken that day, but that's pretty close to what he had on and the equipment he had with him. Anyone going into Palmerville will see them.
So it's been definitely, you said it's been like 12 months in the making. What prompted this again to get this going? Not that you've ever stopped looking for Bruce, but this is a new angle to it.
Just wanted to put it out there, keep everyone's mind refreshed all the time. And I know somebody out there knows something. And I'm just hoping that they'll come forward.
Because you believe, and I know that Robert Reed mentions it in his book, that Stephen Struber and Diane Struber possibly would have told someone else about what they'd done, or someone else may have been around. Is that what you think?
Yep. I definitely believe someone out there knows something.
And so since we spoke to you after Robert released the book Murder on the River of Gold, have you had much feedback about it?
I don't know that people really like to talk too much about it. You know, they think that they're going to make me break down or something.
Do you welcome it if people come and talk to you?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yep.
And you've got the Facebook group as well, haven't you? Justice for Bruce Schuller. Are you going to actually be able to search on the property?
Well, I'm hoping so. I know the new owners have taken over. I haven't been in contact with them and they haven't been in contact with me yet, but I'm sure that will happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm hoping, you know, one day we'll all be able to go out there and search and hopefully bring Bruce home. If anything, at least we can say that we've tried.
Well, you're trying everything, aren't you? How are your kids going and your family and friends?
Yeah, they're doing okay. They, you know, it's just like I said before, it's a wide circle of people this has hurt, so try and plod along. If anyone does have any real information, just please come forward.
So, Palmerville Station has been sold. Hopefully that means that the new owners will allow Fiona and her family to search the property for Bruce's remains. It's hard to believe that could be her job, isn't it? In great news, Fiona wants you to know that she is now a grandmother. She has three beautiful grandsons under three who are keeping her very busy, and she's looking forward to them being a little bit older. That is what she also wanted you to know. Now, that Facebook page is Justice for Bruce Schuller. Justice for Bruce Schuller. And you will find the link to that in our show notes and also on our Facebook page. Thank you for downloading this episode of Australian True Crime, part of the Acast Creator Network. We'll be back next week.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Australian True Crime, the nation's leading independent true crime podcast, is hitting the road with our live show. We're coming to Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane this July, and tickets will be available starting May 10th at 9:30 a.m. sharp. They sold out in 2 hours last time, so do not dilly-dally. We know the suburbs of Australia are teeming with some of the most intriguing and chilling true crime stories the world has ever heard. Don't miss the chance to dive deeper and get involved with a live Q&A. With over 1.5 million downloads monthly, these tickets will sell out. So keep an eye on our social media pages and check the podcast bio for direct links to purchase yours as soon as they're released on Friday, May 10. I can't wait to see you there.